Money in politics isn't new, but according to a New York Times investigation, across the country, lobbyists are increasingly trying to influence state attorneys general. And Washington State is no exception. New York Times reporter Eric Lipton wrote the story. When we spoke this morning, he told me why lobbyists are focusing on state attorney generals.
It really dates back 20 years when the attorney generals joined together to go after the tobacco industry, and they won a settlement that was worth an incredible $206 billion that would be paid out over a long period of time to states. So corporations began to realize back then that attorney generals represented an incredible threat to the corporate bottom line. And so in the time since, there's been an increasing presence of lobbying in the attorney general environment. And so they have now become the target of a very intense campaign to try to influence them.
What are lobbyists seeking from attorneys general? What kind of cases are they trying to influence?
It's really all over the place. I mean, it's everything from pharmaceutical companies that are accused of illegally marketing their drugs to internet companies like Google and Microsoft in terms of issues relating to search engines, to Five-Hour Energy, the caffeinated drink maker. And all of them have been playing the attorney general field to try to avoid essentially being investigated and avoid having to pay fines, potentially.
Eric Lipton, in your story today in the New York Times, you give as an example of lobbying attorneys general something here in Washington State. A former deputy attorney general in Washington State, Brian Moran, was working for T-Mobile. What was he seeking from the attorney general's office?
I mean, a lot of what goes on is the attorney generals are a really helpful voice for a private corporation that's trying to move something in Washington. Because if you could get the attorney general to sign a letter that says, we think this is important, it adds to the stature of the argument that a company like T-Mobile would want to make to the Federal Communications Commission, for example. So you had the former chief deputy leave the office of the attorney general and then within a matter of months come back and lobby his former colleagues and delivering a letter that was prepared by the T-Mobile team and asking the attorney general to send it in to the Justice Department and the FCC to say this is what we think should happen, even though it was essentially written by the T-Mobile lobbyists.
And that letter ended up going out from the office of Attorney General Bob Ferguson?
It was signed by the Attorney General. It was almost word for word from what T-Mobile's lobbyist had prepared, and it was sent to the Federal Communications Commission and the Department of Justice.
You also write about a case here in Washington involving a lawsuit against 5-Hour Energy and then the solicitation of campaign contributions from that same company. Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, one of the real question marks here is, are the attorney generals taking money, soliciting money from the same companies that they're investigating? These are people who have subpoena power. They are law enforcement officials. They're prosecutors. They have enormous amount of clout. So if they're investigating a company and at the same time they're calling those company executives and saying, I'd like you to contribute to my campaign, I mean, that creates some real questions about, is that a form of coercion to that company? And in fact, the Washington State Attorney General, while his office was investigating the company that manufactures 5-Hour Energy, called representatives of the company and asked them to make a donation. And in fact, the company became a sponsor of a fundraiser that he held in May of 2014. They were listed right on the invite as a sponsor. And this was while his office was participating in an investigation and ultimately sued 5-Hour Energy. And shortly after the suit was filed, the company complained and said that they felt like they were being coerced by the Washington State Attorney General.
I'm talking to New York Times reporter Eric Lipton. His investigation looks at intense lobbying of attorneys general across the United States, including here in Washington State. What did the people you spoke to say incidents like this are doing to the credibility of attorneys general?
One of the issues here is that corporations are paying as much as $125,000 apiece simply to gain greater access to attorney generals, to be able to socialize with them, to build relationships with them in an effort to try to limit the likelihood that they will be targeted in an investigation. And when it comes to essentially, to writing a check for $125,000 in exchange for special levels of access, I mean, there was one former attorney general from Maine who said to me he thinks that's a problem. It's one thing if you want to support a campaign and, but it's another thing if you're paying to buy access. And it appears as if there's a lot of that's going on.
Now, there are laws barring some former government officials from lobbying the offices where they used to work, but you're reporting that the laws are somewhat lax when it comes to attorney general offices.
Yeah, I mean, the issue is that the laws weren't really written anticipating that attorney generals would be the focus of lobbying. I mean, because really most of the revolving door laws, as they're called, relate to, say, a former legislator or a former governor or, you know, someone, an elected official, who then goes back and lobbies the governor's office or the legislature. They didn't anticipate that a former attorney general, who would then really be acting more like a lobbyist than a lawyer, would go back and lobby the attorney general's office. But that is, in fact, now happening. But there are no laws that explicitly prohibit it. But you have, like, someone, you know, like the former attorney general from Washington State leave, and then within a matter of months going back and lobbying his former colleagues to ask them to do something that would help out clients like T-Mobile or Microsoft.
Has there been any action to try to reform the rules about lobbying attorney generals?
This has really been largely a hidden world. There is no disclosure of the lobbying of attorney generals. These meetings are all private. When I attended several of them, I was told to leave or face the possible being arrested. And so there's very little visibility into this world, so there's very little sort of a consciousness of the fact that this intense lobbying is going on. So the answer is no, there's been very little call for action because there's been very little visibility about the fact that this is even happening.
New York Times reporter Eric Lipton. We wanted to hear what Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson had to say about this story. He joins us by phone from Olympia. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Ross. Really appreciate it.
Well, we heard from Eric Lipton that after leaving office, your former chief deputy attorney general started lobbying for T-Mobile. And this New York Times story says that your office sent a letter to the FCC and Justice Department nearly identical to a letter prepared by T-Mobile officials. Is that true?
No, not exactly. I appreciate the chance to give some context. I think what Mr. Lipton said was the letter was almost word for word. Number one, happy to share with you a copy of it. Literally every single sentence in that letter was edited, with the exception of the conclusion, thank you for your consideration. Number two, we went through a three-month process in our office, went through our antitrust division, to see if a letter like that, with that message to the FCC, would be good for consumers, for the people of the state of Washington. That's our criteria. We went through that lengthy process. And while this can get complicated, at the end of the day, what we're trying to avoid is having a monopoly when it comes to spectrum options. This is basically airwaves that allow technology, cell phone technology, to provide to users. We want to avoid having just one or two large entities control that entire marketplace because, as you well know, that will ultimately lead to higher prices for consumers. That's why we sent a letter to the FCC, frankly, to support consumers. Made that clear to Mr. Lipton. He chose not to mention that in his article, but that's why we sent that letter, because we feel it's good for consumers and will save them money.
And also good for T-Mobile.
It's not my concern whether it's good for T-Mobile. One thing that also was not mentioned in this article was my first few months on the job as Attorney General, I sued T-Mobile on a different matter. You know, T-Mobile's not someone I'm trying to be friends with. I've got to hold them accountable if they don't play by the rules. I had a high-profile lawsuit that impacted T-Mobile not just in Washington State, but nationwide. They had to reimburse consumers nationwide based on a lawsuit that I brought against T-Mobile in my first year in office. So, hey, if T-Mobile's got an idea, like anyone in Washington State, that I think is good for consumers, we're going to follow up on that. If they're doing something where they're breaking the rules, I'm going to hold them accountable. That was not in the New York Times article, but I think that's the context that's important for your listeners to hear.
Well, let's hear what New York Times writer Eric Lipton had to say about another incident involving your office.
Sure. The Washington State Attorney General, while his office was investigating the company that manufactures 5-Hour Energy, called representatives of the company and asked them to make a donation. And, in fact, the company became a sponsor of a fundraiser that he held in May of 2014. They were listed right on the invite as a sponsor. And this was while his office was participating in an investigation and ultimately sued 5-Hour Energy. And shortly after the suit was filed, the company complained and said that they felt like they were being coerced by the Washington State Attorney General.
Were you soliciting contributions from this company while you were preparing to sue them, Attorney General Bob Ferguson?
Yeah, so I received a donation and called an entity called ETC Capital in early May. They made a $1,000 donation to my campaign. They asked to be listed as 5-Hour Energy. So they do have a connection to 5-Hour Energy. I think what's important to point out is something that he sort of glossed over, certainly did not even mention in his article, which is a couple months later, I was one of just a handful of attorneys general that actually filed a lawsuit against 5-Hour Energy. My point is, yes, I received lots of campaign contributions. That's part of my life as an elected official running for office, but making a donation to my campaign will not buy you any favor or any leniency from my office. They made a $1,000 donation. They were upset about it, so I returned it, but it did not change my course of action, which when I decided later on, they were violating our Washington State consumer protection laws. My job is to hold them accountable and file that lawsuit, and that's what I did.
One of the larger points of this story is that the rules on lobbying attorney general's office are too lax, and that there should be laws disallowing that revolving door where someone works for you goes to work for a company, comes back and lobbies your office. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that has some merit. And I think some states actually have laws to that effect that say, hey, there's a period of time after which you leave an office like the Attorney General before you can then lobby the office itself. I think a rule like that in Washington State would make some sense.
Will you advocate for such a legislation in the coming legislature?
I think that's something we're going to be looking at. We have a legislative agenda, Ross, as you know, and that's something that I'll be sitting down with my team to see if that makes sense to propose for Washington State. But I do think it has merit for the reason. I think that's one point that Mr. Lipton in his article raised that I think had some validity.
You think it has some merit, but you're not ready to say that you're going to advocate for a specific legislation?
I mean, to be clear, I just became aware of this in the last couple of days, right? So it's too soon to say right now that I'm prepared to make a legislative proposal on it. That said, as Attorney General, I do propose usually each legislative session 7 or 8 pieces of legislation. This is one that I'll be meeting with my team to talk about. And as Attorney General, it might make some sense coming from me as Attorney General to see if we can set some rules around it. One, to be clear, you know, I'm in public service. I don't plan when I leave the office of Attorney General someday to go work lobbying on behalf of corporate interests that are adverse to the people of the state of Washington.
Which is what your predecessor has done, correct?
Yeah, that's the course he's taken, and you know, feel free to ask Rob about that course of action. From my standpoint, Rob McKenna is an attorney for entities like T-Mobile, and we interact with him like any other attorney for any other entity that we have interactions with, right? Those interactions are appropriate, right? The other side has a right to say, hey, here's what we think about a particular case, and we take time to hear that. So from my standpoint, Rob is not treated any differently than anyone else who we interact with.
Finally, Bob Ferguson, kind of the big point of the story was that all of a sudden this area that was not really getting lobbied that hard is getting lobbied really hard. Attorneys general all over the country, because of the wide-ranging decisions they're making, are being the focus of paid lobbyists. You haven't been in office that long, but Are you feeling that pressure?
I think that's a fair point. I don't have the historical perspective, as you mentioned, but in my short term as office, you know, I've filed lawsuits against T-Mobile, against the Grocery Manufacturers Association, against Standard & Poor's, against Dish Networks. The article, I think, raises a legitimate point that attorneys general can have a big impact on powerful interests who don't play by the rules, and there is unquestionably a lobbying effort around that. One thing I just want to make sure your listeners know is that, hey, as attorney general, I have my ears to all sorts of folks, right? We receive literally 20,000 complaints a year from Washington State residents about consumer complaints. We read those, we follow up on those, and take those into account. So my job is to listen to all voices in Washington State, and if someone's not playing by the rules, to hold them accountable. And that's what I really focus on as Attorney General.
Bob Ferguson, thanks for your time.
Oh, thanks for your time, Ross. Really appreciate it.
Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson, you're listening to The Record on KUOW.